You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Penny Pierce. Penny is a respected and gifted intuitive empath with deep psychological understanding, visionary ability, and business sense. She is one of the early pioneers in the intuition development movement, having worked since 1977 with organizations like the San Francisco-based Center for Applied Intuition, the Institute for the Study of Conscious Evolution, and the Intuition Network, which I believe was established by Jeffrey Mishlov. I'll ask her in a minute. A popular author, lecturer, counselor, and trainer, Penny specializes in intuition and sensitivity development, skillful perception, personal energy and frequency training, dream work, and future trends. She travels widely, working throughout the U.S., Japan, South Africa, and Europe as an advisor to business executives, scientists, psychologists, and other consultants and trainers, and those on a spiritual path. She has counseled tens of thousands of people worldwide about life and business direction and the fulfillment of destiny. She is the author of 5 books and contributor to many others. We will be touching upon her book, Frequency, tonight, as that is the one that I have read and recommend, and her other major book is Intuition, and we'll talk about that, too. So let's welcome Penny to the show now. Hi, Penny. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Well, I just loved your book, Frequency, because I've been using that term for a long time about, you know, raising your frequency and resonance and so on and so forth, and you just seem to put it all in one book, which goes beyond the secret and many other metaphysical teachings. How did you begin to come about doing that?
You know, it was a kind of a long process of one thing leading to another, to another, to another, to another, and having worked with intuition development and working with doing life readings, clairvoyant empathic life readings, for like a long time, over time you would notice, oh, this person's working this way, or this is happening like that, and I would make lots of observations about how consciousness was working or energy was working, and then using my intuition to tune into what was going on under the surface in the world. I always wanted to see, did what the inner blueprint or the inner reality parallel the outer reality? That's been one of my favorite things to look at. So I was always looking at trends, and what was going to happen underneath the surface might also affect the outer world in a short time. So I guess it was just through my own curiosity and process of observation constantly and not ever losing the interest in all that, that I just amassed a great amount of information and understanding about these things. And so The Intuitive Way was my first book, and then I wrote several books on dreams and one on the present moment, and then finally the next morphing of things came about as I put it together in Frequency. And I think my main goal there was to talk about what's going on the planet today, but in our personal lives and in society, that there's this big acceleration, and like, how's that affecting us, and what does it mean, and what's coming afterwards? You know, we have the shift and the, you know, the big, all this stuff all the metaphysical people talk about, but what does it feel like? I wanted to translate it into tangible terms, common sense terms that people could relate to and say, yeah, I know that. I'm going through that.
Absolutely.
You know, and also to say that there is, we are headed towards something better. This is not chaotic and crazy. This is a symptom of the change, and mm-hmm. it's just one phase. It's not the end result. You know, so I wanted to give people a roadmap, I guess.
Well, I know a lot of people are disturbed about the various events that are going on around the globe. Some of them seem to be intentionally created that are of a negative vibration. Are all of these things that we see around us playing themselves out, are those at reaching an end of their run? And because it would appear, if one didn't know and didn't have intuitive guidance, it would appear as if things were getting worse and in a descending spiral as far as the evolution of souls is concerned.
Yes.
And yet, on the other hand, we're told that this is the dark before the golden age, or the storm before the light. And what is your view from that, and what have you been able to pull in from the various people that you've worked with professionally as far as their soul missions go?
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, there's a lot of stuff going on about 2012 and that being some kind of focal point, but I think it's not going to be as much as everybody thinks, at least in the physical realm. And I think it could span out to 2020 or somewhere around in there, where it's going to take a while for a lot of these shifts to actually register in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do think things are happening faster and faster, because things are coming more and more into the present moment. But so I kind of feel like what you were calling the spiraling down is really a process that has to do with releasing subconscious fears.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that we've been suppressing subconscious fears for a long, 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 long time. Didn't want to look at it, could be in denial, didn't have to face it, and it used to be that the vibration on the physical plane was low enough that you could suppress things.
Right.
There was a place for all that stuff to hide.
Right.
You know, but now the vibration on the planet is getting so high that it's eclipsing the subconscious blockage vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see that a lot of this, the fear stuff, is kind of coming like popcorn. It's getting heated up and it's popping up into the conscious mind. And as that happens at an individual level, we seem to have those traumas or things we didn't want to face, they come up into our daily reality. You know, that's the conscious mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they reenact. And if you're wise, you just take that as an opportunity to reexamine it all. You know, and then look at it from the soul's point of view and dissolve the fear in it and gain more of the superconscious soul force or soul love and add to the love in your own life, you know. But a lot of people are afraid and they don't know what to do, so they're re-suppressing. They're trying to push it back down.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do that, it gains even more force because it can't stay down.
Right.
You know? And so, of course, it just is going to then pop forth with even more momentum. So that's happening at an individual level. And think of this. It's like everybody's individual, you know, fears and dreads are surfacing.
Mm.
Then it's happening societally and in governments and in cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So that all the crazy stuff in the news, that's the conscious mind of the country,
current
events. You know,
So
it's going nuts. I mean, it's just flooding in with all kinds of things that used to be secret. They can't be secret anymore.
Well, that's right. That's
you
right.
You know, you're getting all the scandals and all this, the revealing the WikiLeaks and all this stuff. And, you know, you can't hide that stuff anymore. So the process is we have to teach people how to learn to clear fear and get out of fear and get back into what I'm calling your home frequency, which is your soul's vibration in the body.
Now, that is the vibration that we come in with in alignment with our blueprint for being here?
Yes, that's a good way to say it, I think. I always think of the home frequency as kind of like the vibration of your soul that's been there in every lifetime, and it's in there in the baby's eyes.
Mm.
You know, you come in and it's just like this glossy, wonderful, free-flowing love.
Yeah.
It's not jaded at all.
Right.
And very enthusiastic and open and receptive. And there are a number of ways to recognize what the soul feels like. You know, it has a lot of different characteristics. I think even cheerfulness or sincerity is a very high quality.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be jacked up into super, you know, superpowers like we have in the media. But but anyway, I think the home frequency is your most natural self. If you relax and drop into yourself and just like yourself and enjoy, you know, your preferred state of being, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your left brain.
It's our authentic selves or our essence,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to our ego and personality.
Exactly.
Good.
But the personality can be trained to align with the soul's vibration, you see.
Right, right.
And then it becomes the conduit for the soul to really come all the way into the physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then this world becomes enlightened.
Do you see that happening increasingly in your work and around the world with your travels, since you do get around a lot more than the Zadie Mystic does?
Well, you know, I feel like it's happening, but I feel like where people are right now is that people report commonly that they feel like they're standing in a doorway.
Mm.
Like they're aware that they're leaving an old reality, and they're sort of clear that the old reality has a certain feeling to it, like self-sacrifice or postponement of true joy, or
right.
I have to do all these shoulds and please people. And
suffering.
And suffer, yeah, and basically self-sacrifice
in some way. Right,
And it's slow. It's that old cause and effect thinking that comes from feeling that you're separate from everything.
Right, right.
And willpower-based reality. And, you know, it's slow. It's sticky.
It's,
you know, and
dense.
Yeah, dense, exactly.
Yeah.
And so you get to the doorway, and then you can look back at that way it's been so far. And, of course, most people have this sense that when they get born, they have to put themselves on the shelf for a while because they're not going to be able to get through because their parents are in fear.
Right.
And they have to, you know, adapt and do what their parents believe is right or they won't survive.
Right.
You know, and then they're going to maybe, hopefully, take themselves off the shelf later on.
Right.
But this is later on, now.
Oh,
This is the time when we get to put ourselves back into our lives in the way we want.
Yeah, that makes sense. And there's no other time.
Yeah, this is it.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting. But, okay, so we're in the doorway, we're realizing, all right, this is the time. But then you look the other way through the doorway and go, oh, my goodness, what's that world going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
You sort of have a little glimpse of it, a little feeling that it's going to be better, but still you're not sure.
Yeah.
And then the left brain is afraid of dying. You know, it's like ego death. It says, I'm not going to stop controlling everything in the world. You know, so it says, that world out there is going to be scary. There's a void out there. It's not, you know, nothing's going to be easy. And it's just, of course, the opposite.
It's
so we've got to, right now, I think, people are in this process. I hear everybody saying, I just feel stuck.
Yeah.
And I know I want to move on. I really want to move on. I don't know how to do it. And there's a lot of negative self-talk going on.
Uh-huh.
Where people are telling themselves declarative statements about what isn't working.
Oh.
You know, and then kind of locking that in.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, just echoing the old programming.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain techniques right now, I think, that we have to learn to stop maintaining and plugging into the old realities.
Right, right.
And just relax a little bit and go into this little soft place where there's a gestation process and where the body can rest and start to make a change out of one set of instructions into a new set of instructions and about how to make reality.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
You know, and then once we do that, more people, and I think this will be within a year or so, and this may be what 2012 is largely about, is that there will be a sense that people have stepped through the doorway.
Yeah.
And actually started to enter the new, I call it the intuition age, just because the information age is still, you know, I think we had the industrial age and then the information age.
Mm.
So it was body with the industrial, right, where everything was machines.
Mm-hmm.
And that went into computers, which got so fast that it jumped us into information, which is the mind.
Right, right.
And then that mind started going faster and faster and faster, and the amount of information we were trying to process has increased geometrically. So that at this point, we can't process information in a linear fashion anymore. And we have to give up the cause and effect thinking.
Right.
And move out of the left brain into the right brain, into the body, into the field consciousness.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's spirit. That's intuition. You know, and it is only through intuition that we're going to be able to even basically grasp what the new reality is about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Direct knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Total immersion into.
Yep.
Something, you know, it won't be through logic and analysis.
Because it'll be so slow and cumbersome, it won't be able, it won't be even relevant to...
It won't function.
It won't work. And it's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
And a lot of people might try to, you know, hit it with a hammer to get it to go there, and they're going to have some problems with it.
Well, they'll self-destruct.
Yes.
And I think that will happen to a number of people who are too stubborn...
Yeah.
Or too locked into an old reality to be able to understand how change could occur.
Right.
You know, and but there are a lot of people who are really waking up, you know, and like I said, in the doorway, and they're going to start to get a felt sense of what it's like in the new reality. And some of the symptoms of it are, you know, it's all in the present moment.
Uh-huh.
And so that manifesting things becomes instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
So that there is no sense of future anymore.
Right.
The future is in the present moment, and it is simply a higher frequency of the present moment.
Uh-huh.
But it's in you now. It's not separate from you. If you would raise your vibration, you'd be in that level of reality. It would happen immediately. So there's no sense of the how we know how long something takes to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to change. It's going to be, well, how easily do you raise your vibration? Well, then it'll happen faster for you.
Yeah.
You know? And so a lot of the way things are going to function have to do with the way we use our perception. And that's a whole new art form that's coming in. And there will be a shift out of, I think, out of technology into telepathy.
Yes. Yes, I've heard that from many guests, and I've also felt that myself.
But I think this may happen in 2012. Like, as you go through the doorway, suddenly you realize that you think about somebody, and they call you on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just know about them in a dream.
Right.
And call them. Or, you know, it's like the barriers between people will melt.
Right.
Because we're entering the unified field where everything is connected to everything and everybody knows about everybody and everything is, you know, it's known.
Right, right. And that would include politicians and the rest of it. So when people have a bad intent or they're lying, that becomes instantly known or obvious to all of those who are in integrity and in telling the truth.
That's right.
And you can only be authentic with yourself, with your vibration, if you are 100% in your own integrity.
Yeah, and people will, I think, get more used to feeling what the home frequency is, and they'll know when things vary from that.
Right.
When they're not in alignment.
Right.
And there will be much more a sense of the fact that all beings are in the moment with you right now, and actually they're inside you. They're in you. And so if you want to do something, they're sitting right there waiting for you to ask so that they can have something to do. You know, it's like, hey, let's play. What do you want to do next? Oh, okay, let's do that. And in a certain way, too, you can relax because the ideas you get are coming from all of us.
Right.
From you and from everybody.
Yeah.
Because they want you to have those ideas.
Yeah.
So that you can do the thing you're good at doing and give that back to everybody so they can have what they need to do their next thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's so well coordinated and such a perfect fit. You know, it's like just amazing. And that's what love is like in action.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
love is not some mushy-gushy thing about romance necessarily.
Right.
It's
right.
Sort of this amazing laws of the universe and the way everything fits together and works so perfectly.
Yes.
And it's like you feel it and you just go into awe. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so happy I'm alive. I get to play with this.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I think maybe, you know, 2012 is about people suddenly kind of waking up and feeling like possibly their past is gone. Possibly they feel so much more interconnected to everything, and they're, like, letting it affect them. They're starting to get it, what the golden rule is all about.
Right,
for instance,
right.
You know? And that it's not just a philosophy. It's actually the law. It's the way it works. And, you know, that some of these things are just going to be ingraining into us suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then on the other hand, like what you were saying before about the old systems falling apart, you know, and things, I think simultaneously there will be a kind of disintegration of the old dinosaur-type forms of, you know, dictatorship and control and the corporatists and
militarization,
you know,
and
yes, you know, and a lot of that where willpower was trying to keep control of the world and keep power and, you know, and hoarding.
Oh, yes. Well, for instance, hoarding technologies that have been available for 60 years. It's common knowledge that there's been free energy and incredible breakthroughs that have been held through private corporate interests and guarded by the military. So there's it's no secret about that.
Mm-hmm.
And people who have tried to release some of that stuff have met with unfortunate circumstances.
Yes. They were before their time.
Yeah. So it seems that those times need to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously with our ability to move into a new paradigm.
And I'm sure that's what's going to happen.
Good.
That there is a simultaneous fading out of the old, you know, control-based structures and will-based structures,
and
a rising of the, I want to say it's like an innovation movement. That's what I see coming. It's like a sudden, real strong focus on creativity, innovation, and a kind of I'm almost seeing like people starting to tune into higher dimensions.
Oh, yes.
And then get together in groups so that they form a group mind.
Yes.
Then the group mind tunes into those higher dimensions and connects with other beings, non-physical beings,
right,
who have very high levels of, for instance, technological information or advanced, you know, knowledge.
Right.
And then they come down and give these groups new ideas, and then there are these mass inventions and things that come through.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
And it's like, you know, breakthroughs in energy solutions and healing of, you know, cancer and whatever, the AIDS and stuff, where before it seemed so difficult, and now suddenly it's like the most natural thing in the world, that of course we have a new source of energy. Or of course, you know, we can heal high-frequency illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we will eclipse that old consciousness about difficulty.
Right, right.
And there are going to be a lot of things that happen very rapidly, and I think that it's like the small business people, the inventors, and probably cross-cultural, too. It's not just national-based anymore. It'll be teams of people from different countries working together.
Oh, wonderful. That would be just wonderful, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, and you think about it, we're becoming global.
Yeah.
We're learning that other cultures have ways of being that we could use, too.
Yes.
You know, and that's going to happen.
And
I also think it's going to happen between generations.
Mm-hmm.
because I have seen teams of children working with adults to bring through inventions.
Wow.
like the crystal children or whatever they call them, you know.
Right, but, right.
That they're very tuned into these higher dimensions. And so they may be bringing this stuff through even at age, you know, 9, 11, you know, young children. So I'm really pretty hopeful. I mean, I know that, unfortunately, some people won't get it.
Right.
Or they won't open up, you know, in a timely fashion. And so I do think that there will be quite a few people who die. But I don't think that's a tragedy, because I kind of feel like there will be a little bit of a bifurcation of the earth, so that the people who choose to leave, they'll come back into a planet that's of their own vibration. And they won't really know anything has shifted. They'll just continue on evolving.
Mm-hmm.
But those of us who've moved into a really higher vibration and are shifting, deeply shifting, we'll come into a different planet that's much more energetic, or, you know, higher frequency planet, where things just work differently.
Well, no. There's a third category of people, and that would be the controlling elite, and those who have intentionally created wars and horrible scenarios in order to amass huge fortunes and basically buy up the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming with us, are they?
You never know. Each person has their own pathway of evolution, so you don't know who might wake up in the 11th hour. You never know. You can't judge people. Their souls control it. And, I think that people who are just stubbornly stuck in control, they probably will leave, you know, somehow or other and come back in again. I don't know what paradise means, but I mean, after this kind of shifting period occurs, I think there will be a much higher emphasis on building civilization, building community, and large group mind kinds of structures. You know, it won't be so much based on individual competition.
Right.
It'll be much more about the group mind just allowing things to materialize out of it, you know, just to show up, like new formats for cities or government and stuff like that. So it'll be major changes.
Forms of unity consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
In alignment with the planetary soul as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be, as you see it, it might be a collective participatory event of a higher nature, and it's so creative because everybody gets to play and enjoy it, and it seems like creativity and the love that you're talking about are the forms of monetary, it would replace monetary systems.
Yeah, I'm not sure what would replace that exactly, but I'm sure there will still be something like that. But it almost feels like a dream I once had, where I saw a bunch of people sitting around a conference table, and there was this new invention of this holographic video game. And they didn't even have a machine, they were doing it telepathically.
Uh-huh.
And creating a three-dimensional movie in the middle of the conference table that was floating in the air. And then everybody was just concentrating on it and thinking and reacting and responding to what the other people were creating. Uh-huh. And it just was evolving like at light speed.
Wow.
And things were happening really fast. And I thought, wow, that's the way it's going to be in the future. You know, that's what we're actually doing in reality right now, but we're not aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we turned it into a game? You know, and it was a positive video game, not one where everybody was destroying things. You know, where we're building things and creating new life forms and whatever, you know.
Right.
Wow, it could be amazingly fun.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that vision. I'm going to hold on to that one. Well, one of the things that you mentioned in your book, and I want to say also about your book, is that there are many I don't want to call them exercises, but there are many ways to practice what you have been talking about throughout the book. So it's very practical. It's not just straight reading. There are things that we can do as we read the book to solidify the information that is in there. And one of the things you say is that everything is energy, and energy is conscious. And then you mentioned that we're in a feedback loop. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm trying to remember what I meant by that.
or anything that you want to talk about. Everything is energy. In other words, we're not.
I think what I meant was that the energy has to do with movement and creativity, and that feeds into consciousness, then consciousness feeds into energy. It's like, they feed each other because they are each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sort of higher frequency you get, the higher consciousness you get. The higher consciousness you get, the more you can do. There is a kind of an increasing feedback loop with that,
mm-hmm.
And just like you can spiral down, you can spiral up.
Now, why is it so hard to spiral up when you spiral down?
I don't. I think it's because we're used to spiraling down.
Oh.
It's like a normal reality to humanity.
Yeah.
But we've all had periods of good luck.
Yeah.
And you can sort of remember that, but we don't think it's normal, so we don't take it as normal. But there are times where you can feel that. You're in a good mood, you like people,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then things start going your way.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they go your way, if you don't wreck it, then more people start liking you, and then you're more generous, and then you're more loving, and then more people like you, then you get more opportunities,
that's
the spiraling up.
Yeah.
It's about increasing levels of creativity and the sense of how much you can do and how much you want to do. And, that kind of thing keeps you from getting old. I think it changes the aging process.
Wow.
Too. So you don't get old as much. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds a little bit more like moving into an ability to be of service to others as opposed to being selfish and self-concerned and me, me, me.
Mm-hmm. Except that then being of service to others is selfish.
Well, right. It's the ultimate self-service, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pleasure.
Yeah.
It's what really the soul has as its experience of pleasure,
mm-hmm.
is helping others. It's extremely pleasurable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Whereas noble self-sacrifice is... it's not really pleasurable.
No, it
doesn't
isn't.
Help anybody.
No. Do you think some of my guests have talked about this, and I don't know if you have any thoughts on it or if it's even something that you'd want to talk about, but some of the people mentioned that as the frequencies increase on the planet and as we're able to adapt to those frequencies, that it might even be conceivable that we will not have to experience physical death in this lifetime. Is
mm-hmm.
that something that you've thought about?
I've thought a lot about it, yes. Because I think that it's maybe the first stage of that is thinking about what is a conscious death,
mm-hmm.
where you can maintain your consciousness all the way through the process and not lose memory, so
mm-hmm.
that you take everything with you consciously and you don't forget anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't freeze up, you don't get into a fear thing, you don't go unconscious. And that way you can, evolve yourself. But now I've been feeling even more that this transformation process we're going through, with the energy in the physical body increasing so much, it's like we're dying while we're alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're going through all the stages of a conscious death, but we're still staying here in our body.
Yes.
And
wow.
So if we can do it right and get through it, we will have a sense of being here and on the other side at the same time. Right. We'll be interdimensional in a conscious way. And then we'll realize that, well, what's death anyway? It's just like you have the illusion of shifting out of the physical realm into the non-physical realm, but
right.
we're already dead because we're already in the other realm,
right.
a big part of us.
Right.
We're not going anywhere.
Right.
And, you know, that the soul is eternal, and it really is a real thing.
Yeah.
Consciousness
yes.
is a real thing.
Yeah.
I think when we get that somehow, that and we can start to realize that we can kind of oscillate consciously between dimensions right now,
mm-hmm.
go out and access that realm, then come back, you know, and we're doing that every other second, every millisecond right now, like the particles in our body are blinking in and out.
That's right. That's
you know?
Absolutely right.
But I think I've had an experience also. One night I was just, I couldn't sleep. And I sat up in bed and was sitting there cross-legged on the bed, and I, what did I do? I think I inhaled, and the room disappeared,
oh.
and my body disappeared.
Wow.
And I was just like a ball of light floating in space.
Oh, my.
And then I exhaled, and the room came back.
Oh, my.
So with every other breath,
huh.
I disappeared, and I came back.
Whoa.
And the room reformulated itself according to my memory of it.
Oh.
And then it just, like, turned and dissolved again, and then it came back again. And I thought, geez, you know, this must be what it's like to die.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just dissolve the illusion of the bubble around you of the physical reality.
Right.
And you're just where you've always been, sitting in the middle of everything as a ball of light.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you start to practice doing that now, and are able to move in and out, then when you actually supposedly die, why wouldn't you be able to just come back right away if you wanted to, if you already know how to come in and out?
That certainly makes a lot of sense to me.
You know, and I think that we'll start to get that. I think somehow this is just the first glimmer of what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
But that we're free. We have access to everything, everywhere.
Wow. And there's a collective information in the field. I guess they call it the vacuum. That's called a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the unified field or the space between our atoms and molecules.
Sure, yeah.
So on and so forth. So,
well, everything's there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if you think if you've had past lives, they're all there. All the memory of every single thing that's ever been done by you. Even by your lineage, you know, by all your past lives,
oh, dear.
And by everybody else's lives and their past lives.
Wow.
It's all there. So why would you limit yourself, for instance, to only your past history?
Right, right.
For what you can use to create your present moment?
Yeah.
If you let go of your past and your story and your
right.
history and just relax, you could open up to all your past life knowledge, and then you could open up to everybody's knowledge.
It almost seems as if there were no time, that would also include future knowledge.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And I've always wondered, why does everybody get stuck on focusing on the past lives when there's got to be, you know, the future is certainly there too, especially if everything runs backward and forwards and simultaneously up and down, you know. I've always wondered why, you know, we don't delve into the future a little bit more.
Well, I think that it is the future, you know, certain realities in the future that are helping us align to it right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it is guiding us. It is a higher level of our own self. It's like, you know, talk about super consciousness or your soul's guidance.
Right.
That's
right.
Future guidance. It's higher frequency guidance. And it already exists. And we're aligning ourselves to it so that we can know it in the now. You know, in our now. We want to bring it in. We want to have it physically.
And that could relate to what so many mention as bringing the merging of heaven and earth.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So
we're really what I think this is all about. It's not attaining something that's never been attained.
Right.
It's about remembering what we are.
Right.
And bringing the memory of that into the body and enlightening the body and turning it on all the way, like turning the light switches on in a house in every room.
Right, right.
And then we go, oh my gosh, yes, of course, this is what it is. You know, like, oh, how did I forget? And then letting the world operate according to those principles so that it becomes really what we would now think of as magical, but to the spiritual realm, it's normal.
Right, right. And do you notice also that as the frequency increases, or as we're able to tune into our own frequency and the higher frequencies, that there is an increase as well in synchronicity?
Oh yes. And that could be partly because of telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, like, I always think deja vu. You know, when you have that kind of experience, I always remember that I dreamed it once. Like, I had a dream about this where I was testing out future probable paths.
Right.
And then I already went down this one before once.
Right.
And now it's real.
Uh-huh.
And there's a closing of the gap between the potential and the real. And I think synchronicity is slightly related to that, you know, where things suddenly match up and you get the ding, you know, sort of like, oh, pay attention, this is real.
Right.
This is the way it really is.
Right.
It's like a little tiny bell going off every time it happens.
Hmm.
That this is normal. Like, I have a thing where I look at the digital clock when it's my birthday.
Uh-huh.
Like, all the time, you know, it's just the month and date of my birth, and I see the time on the clock that way. It must be a game I play with myself, you know, like that I'll say, oh, okay, when I see my birthday, that'll make me remember to get centered and wake up, you know. Like, I'm new, you know. But, yeah, I think the synchronicities are amazing ways that we work with ourselves to help our personality wake up.
Yeah. It certainly does make sense. Do you feel that that in working with all of these energies and with the people that you work with, that you touch upon, excuse me, some kind of higher plan or divine plan?
I would say, well, yes, that each person I work with, I feel into them, and I can feel sort of what they're built for, you know, what they're trying to do in this lifetime.
Uh-huh.
That there is a sort of a desire that the soul has to balance things out or accomplish certain things or take advantage of the conditions in a certain way, and that it's very graceful, and the soul really does know what it's doing, and it does know how to plan and engineer things, and it gives me great faith in the soul, actually, to watch how people's lives have unfolded. It's a wonderful thing to do readings the way I have for so many years, because you see this sanity that's inside the soul.
Uh-huh.
Although people complain about it, you know, their left brains are overactive, and I didn't do enough, or I'm stuck, or this isn't working, and I don't have this. And I say, but look what you did. Look what you've done.
Right.
And and it's all evolutionary. And, you know, so the higher plan, I think, I'm not sure that there's such a thing as like a big engineered plan, but I think there is a very loose, organic, evolutionary flow that adjusts itself constantly.
Right, right.
And it is naturally on a trajectory toward, you know, a kind of completion of sorts. And it might take a certain amount of time. I'm not, you know, when it translates down into this dimension.
Uh-huh, right.
But on the other dimensions, it's practically done already.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't like to try to make things too linear anymore.
Yeah.
Things are morphing so quickly and adapting that, you know, you have to keep checking with the higher causal plane or the Akashic records or whatever it is, you know, and see, okay, what's the plan today, you know?
right. I've noticed that a lot, that, you know, I used to be able to, you know, kind of peer into the following week or even a month and have some kind of vision of what might be coming up. And the last few months, I've had to pretty much abandon that and just go with what's going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
because that's about as far as I can see into the future or into the present. So
there's a lot of work going on, especially this year, deep down, recircuiting kind of work, I think, with the energy is increasing tremendously this year. And, you know, I've experienced it as a need to stay home.
Me
and
too.
Be kind of quiet, actually.
Yes.
And get my left brain out of the way as much as I can and not try to be ambitious and plan lots of work.
Yes.
And it's very foreign to me because, you know, I think I should be out there accomplishing and doing, and yet, you know, something saying, no, just relax, you know, go work in the garden and watch a video and don't you know, fret so much and just relax. And a lot of the work's being done, you know, during when you're not thinking about it.
Right, right.
And a lot of it is when I'm trying to sleep and I can't sleep, there's so much activity going on in the body that I think it kind of keeps you up. You know, and possibly if you can relax into that. I mean, I've been trying to deal with these energy aberrations that go through the body.
Yeah.
How do you deal with this? You know, just relax. If you're going to sleep 3 hours that night, well, then that's what you need.
Right, right.
And not complain about it and say, oh, I didn't get enough sleep. And then if you do sleep longer, okay, great, that worked out. We don't, you know, you have to give up all your ideas about what you think is normal.
Oh, right, right.
Too.
Do you find that with food as well?
Oh, yes, yes. Either not wanting to eat much at all or then wanting a lot of something like carbohydrates or something to, I don't know, calm me down or something,
yeah,
you know. So
yeah.
I'm not trying to inflict any big disciplines on myself this year.
Well, yeah, but good.
You know what I mean?
I like hearing that.
Well, because I think that's the mind trying to, you know, do something in its old way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to trust your instincts about things, I think, right now.
Yes, yes.
And have a lot of compassion for yourself and for your body.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. There's no question about that one.
Yeah, because a lot of people I see are going into hyperdrive, thinking, you know, they're going to handle this by just getting super active and you know, I'm going to walk every day, I'm going to do this amount of work, I'm going to research these, you know, it's like it exhausts me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too much for what really wants to happen right now, because the big work is happening at a completely profound level. And it almost has nothing to do with the mind.
Right, right. And isn't it important to have an ability to have some quiet time in order to be able to tune into or pick up the subtle vibrations that we miss when we're so busy being preoccupied with getting this done and getting that done and jumping from this place and going to the store? It seems that those activities, for me, take me out of the ability to intuitively tune in.
Right. Yeah, we're so distracted today. And I mean, even I mention this often to my friends about how much noise there is out in, like you go to Starbucks or someplace and there's all these loud music playing and there's music in the, when you get out of your car, pumped into the parking lot.
Right.
I'm like, gee-many, is there nowhere that's just quiet?
Yeah.
Where, you know, when you have silence, you can actually expand yourself through space.
Uh-huh.
But when music and noise is coming at you constantly, you know, cell phones and TVs and stuff, it's coming at you.
Yeah.
You can't expand.
Right, right.
You're stuck in that level of processing at the level that it's coming at you from.
Well, that may be part of what's contributing to the length of time it seems to be taking for so many people to awaken.
Could be. It's stalling us in a certain way.
Kind of keeping us a little bit stuck in the in a lower vibration.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that, you know, big thing now is we have to trust our body.
Uh-huh.
And get in the body.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, we are the body. We are making our body out of our own vibration. And if you change your vibration and then you send that through your body and saturate your body with it,
mm-hmm.
the body will heal and become, you know, much a better, what would you call it, like a relay for your own energy into the world. It's your mm-hmm. interface with the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it picks up things from the world for you, and it gives things to the world for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it needs to be a clear, transparent, fluid sort of system where if something comes in and impresses you, then you don't stop that energy right there at the body level.
Uh-huh.
You let it come all the way up through into your awareness.
Oh.
And then you say, thank you, body, for picking that up for me.
Oh.
I see what we're getting. Okay, there's an accident down the road.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Okay, I think I suddenly should not go this direction.
Yeah.
Slow down, speed up, go left, go right. You know, don't eat this today.
Yes.
Do this today, you know.
Yes, yes.
Minute by minute, moment by moment, guidance.
Yes. And it's quite brilliant.
It's totally tuned in.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had two instances, I won't go into the details, recently, where I was given signs, subtle signs, about something that I shouldn't do. And my mind just blew it off, and I went ahead and did it. And in both situations, I paid the price.
Mm.
And when I looked back, I thought, well, those little subtle signs were my body communicating with me that this is not a good path for you. You're not going to be happy when you get finished with this you know, long drive or whatever it was. And indeed, it was a very painful and difficult thing to go through.
Uh-huh.
So when I do that, I pay a special attention to the guidance that, as you said, and if I get even the hint of not going someplace, That's it. That's the end of the story.
Yeah.
My body has told me, I'm listening, and I'm home.
Yes.
If it changes, I'll go. But until then, I'm listening.
Yes. Yeah, I think, and it's partly a learning about the fine lines of balance between, let's say, activity and rest. And not being too sluggish, not being too hyperactive. You know, you can
right.
take each one of those sides to an extreme, or you can let them find the harmonious balance,
mm-hmm.
the male and female energy, the, you know, whatever. There's everything has those fine line balances, and they can go to negative polarity, so they can come into a positive polarity,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where they actually feed each other like a figure eight. The two sides of yourself in
All right.
whatever polarity that is. And I think that's an important thing for us to learn, is how to balance each of the kinds of polarities we pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not get stuck in one or the other. Or
right. They're like, for sometimes, like I said, eating. Sometimes
yeah.
you don't really want to eat.
Right.
And sometimes you do want to eat. And, you know, you don't make a rule about how you always have to eat just this thing.
Yeah, right, right. I like that. Well, we're approaching the end of the hour, and I thought I would ask if you have any special particular messages that you'd like to share with the listeners, or any particular story that you think might be appropriate, whatever you would like to share before we have to close out.
Well, I guess that what comes to mind right away is that I had a dream once where, I get a lot of information through dreams, where I was being told that we were supposed to become transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And that we would be coming to an event in the future that was called the Void. And that to survive the Void, you had to become like the Void. In other words, don't hold anything to yourself, which mm-hmm. makes you opaque, so that you release all your contractions and your clutter and your holding patterns and, you know, your identity, your stories, your history,
mm-hmm.
and you be in the moment 100% as the soul, just pure presence.
Mm-hmm.
basically. And that then there would be this event, which I'm not sure exactly when it is, but it was almost like time would stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that we would, if you weren't holding on to an idea about what cause and effect thinking was or linear time had to look like, you would just blink out and then blink back again and you wouldn't know anything had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were very attached to linear thinking, it wouldn't fit the pictures. It wouldn't fit your way of thinking, your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, you would almost like implode. And that, so it's, I didn't think it was 2012. I think it's a little further off than that.
Yeah.
But that there is a process going on where we need to get rid of the sense of being dense and
mm-hmm.
being cluttered
mm-hmm.
and become more fluid and transparent and porous.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the work I think that's before us right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very intense decluttering,
right.
you know. And
right.
then, you know, you don't need as much as you think you need. You don't need even as much identity as you think you need.
Right.
Your vibration goes out for you and does the work of connecting with other people for you. You don't have to, you know, do so much with the mind.
Right,
you
right.
know? So, that requires faith, right? It requires direct experience of energy and spirit. It means you have to take time to get quiet and drop into yourself. That's all of what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Wow. Beautifully said. And definitely it seems like a lifelong task to, but of releasing, you know, the various aspects of myself that are no longer necessary, and that's just about everything, including including this thought I just threw out there. So I release it too. Before we go, I want to thank you for being on the show because you're just a wonderful person, and I love the work that you're doing, and I love your two books, and you can mention them, and I'd like for you to mention your website
okay.
and all anything else that you'd like for people to be able to find you.
Okay, thank you, Lance. That's great.
Sure.
Well, the two books that are sort of really on the market now are the Intuitive Way, which is a course in intuition development, and then Frequency, which is the power of personal vibration, which both of them have a lot of, it's like a guidebook with a lot of exercises and things you can actually do to experience the ideas that I put in there. But I also have two dream books. I did done a lot of work with dreams,
uh-huh.
and a book called The Present Moment.
Uh-huh.
So they're all around, and my website is just my name, www.pennypierce.com, and thefrequencybook.com is the website for the book, thefrequencybook.com. So, and I do, you know, in-person readings and phone readings, and I'll be teaching on the East Coast in Baltimore through, the second half of July for 2 weeks. And then I'll be up in Kripalu and Boston and Maine, I think, in the end of October.
Wonderful.
Doing some stuff up there. So those are my main teaching tours this year.
Oh, wonderful. Well, may you raise the frequency of all that you come into contact
Thank
with
you, Lance.
And all that you do not come into contact with and all who listen to the show tonight and in the future. Thank you so much, Penny.
And thank you for the work you do.
It was great fun talking to you.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.